CBS and Viacom are getting back together again, reaching a deal to reunite media mogul Sumner Redstone's U.S. entertainment empire after more than a decade apart. The merger is a bet that a larger company will be more competitive in an industry dominated by giants. The new company will be named ViacomCBS, even though CBS shareholders will own 61% and Viacom shareholders will hold the rest.
Hope may be on the horizon for those fighting the deadly Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This after scientists with the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases announced Monday that two potential drugs showed a survival rate of as much as 90% in a clinical trial. The two experimental drugs were developed with antibodies harvested from survivors of the Ebola infection. Authorities say they'll now offer the treatments to all patients in the DRC.
Rum, made the way it always has been in Havana. But now this Cuban liquor is headed for global markets. That is in defiance of tightening U.S. sanctions. Back in May, Donald Trump enabled U.S. citizens to bring lawsuits against companies profiting from property taken from them after Cuba's 1959 revolution. The provision of the so-called Helms-Burton Act had been suspended by previous U.S. presidents.
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's August the 14th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in again this morning for another edition of The Opening Bell. We have another business day getting underway, and there's lots going on in the world. You heard some of it there in the opening montage. We'll try to hit some more of it moving forward this morning on the program. On the broadcast today, we'll focus in on retail in our first segment as some big retailers report quarterly earnings this week. Kelly Stickle will be here, CEO of Remedista. That'll be in our first segment this morning. We'll talk a little bit about what we're seeing in the retail sector, what the trends are. Also check in on the 2019 retail lookbook with Kelly momentarily. A little bit later in the program, Scott Greenberg will be here. President and CEO of Smash Residential and Smash Hotels. It's our Building Business Around Town segment, and WGN's Bennett Wakenight will be here with that at about 5:30 with Scott, 5:38. So that's a good program for today. We'll get busy first with the numbers on the Associated Bank market desk. Futures are pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street. Dow futures are off more than 0.5% this morning, down 160 points. NASDAQ futures are off nearly 0.75%, down nearly 55 points. The S&P down nearly 0.5% as well. The opening bell will ring after stocks surged yesterday when the U.S. delayed China tariffs on some items until December. The U.S. also removed some items from the list of new tariffs that were set to go into effect in September. After the close, the Dow was up nearly 373 points. The NASDAQ jumped 153 yesterday. The S&P gained 43 points. We'll talk more about trade moving forward this morning as well. Checking the markets in Europe, a lot of weakness there as well in London, Germany, and France. Germany seeing the worst of it this morning, and France off nearly 1%. The DAX down 130 points. In France off nearly 51 points on the CAC, down nearly a full percent as well. In London, the stock market is off by nearly 0.5%. The FTSE down about 43 points. In Asia, markets are generally in the green after the trade news from yesterday. In China, up nearly 0.5%. In Hong Kong, up just fractionally. And in Tokyo, up nearly a full percent, 199 points on the Nikkei ending the day. Crude oil at $56.36 a barrel, which is down about 74 cents. Some stories as we begin this morning. Of course, we mentioned yesterday the president announced that he was delaying tariffs on imports from China. Some of those things that will be delayed, toys, computer products, maybe even some cell phones, that sent some stock yesterday soaring for companies like Apple and other areas that will be relieved, really, that this delay won't affect, mean the tariffs won't affect the holiday season. A lot of folks were worried that that would mean even more to the cost of Christmas and holidays shopping for especially some of those items like toys and electronics, also for back to school as well. You also heard in the opening montage the long-awaited merger between CBS and Viacom finally about to become a reality. Two media giants announced an agreement yesterday to reunite in an all-stock merger that will create the company worth more than $28 billion in revenue. The merger puts some of the biggest entertainment brands under one corporate roof, including CBS's broadcast network and all-access streaming service, Paramount Movie Studio, and cable networks like Showtime, MTV, Nickelodeon, and Comedy Central. Viacom's chief executive, Bob Bakish, will lead the combined company as president and CEO. The deal reunites the two companies who split in 2006. Let's begin this morning front and center with the retail. Some of the biggest names in retail will report quarterly earnings this week, including Macy's, JCPenney, Walmart, and Dillard's. Analysts are predicting the sector will deliver weaker results overall than this time last year, when consumer spending was on the rise, driven by some tax cuts and rising wages. Kelly Stickle joins us this morning, CEO of Remodista. She is one of the retail experts that we call on from time to time, who has a finger on the pulse, really, of what's happening. Kelly, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I hope you are as well.
Yes, I am. Thanks.
We mentioned some of these big retailers. We're, of course, looking at JCPenney and Macy's and Walmart. What is happening? We're seeing if we are, in fact, going to see weaker results overall, what's happening in the retail sector that's driving that, do you think?
Well, I think Amazon is continuing to make a bigger impact, and these larger traditional retailers have a lot of legacy debt with their technology, and then they have a lot of real estate and investment chunks of money that are taking a toll on the company. So I think we're starting to see everybody just smaller margins and having a struggle in general across the landscape.
How much do tariffs impacted the retail sector, do you think?
I don't know that we've seen that impact quite yet. I think that maybe the political stress is having people hold on to their wallets a little longer, but I just think it's a tough time in general.
So, where are people spending their money in retail? Who are you mentioned Amazon, but who else is making money these days?
Well, I think there's plenty of companies making money. Maybe they're not as big as those players. A lot of the more niche retailers are starting to really understand and tell stories and attract their customer through purpose, through showing transparency through the supply chain. The smaller companies also have a lower overhead to get to the market. So they're seeing somewhat a chance to be successful in their businesses because they aren't dealing with that debt of technology, you know, from the past, and they have a much lower overhead and way to operate.
Yeah, especially the small businesses. The Small Business Optimism Index was out. Small businesses remain very optimistic, and if you combine that with generally consumers who want to spend money, it would seem like that's a good area, too, to be in.
Well, they're doing a good job at personalizing and making their brand about something, and you're seeing some of those online retailers move into store. You're also seeing Amazon do that. You know, companies that started with an online presence are now finding ways to create a customer experience that might be a store, but it also might be a pop-up experience where they're starting to work with other partners you wouldn't have assumed they would have worked with in the past. So we're starting to do things differently.
Yeah, and the pop-up thing is interesting because I know we've talked about this before when you've been on, but this has been a good area for small business or retail sector types to have these little pop-up stores. People love these, don't they?
Yeah, and that's a gap. The pop-up store and generally the connected store, like the flagship store, Nike's flagship store in New York, there's just this opportunity that when you are going to bring customers together, you want to surprise and delight them. And that's going to take a connected integration of your commerce and then kind of the brand experience. And I think that that's a gap in the market that our technology companies haven't kind of met, and that's the space that we've been focusing on. Is really the future will be sort of sewn together with niche partners that create a solution for the retailer.
Give us a sense of what that looks like, really.
It's really a little complicated. We have these commerce platforms, and they're commoditized, meaning everybody's doing similar things, and most retailers are on them. Now they need to find a way to get a lift off the platform, so make money. And that's going to now be a bunch of smaller, really innovative technology companies that you need to pull together so that the retailer doesn't have to go find all those players. That's the work we've been doing for the last 3 years, is really kind of creating a new kind of channel of what the retailers need for the future.
How has that been working? What challenges have you seen, and what benefits have been coming out of it?
I think the challenge is we operate in the area of visionary to early mass consumer adoption, and that's really before the money is there. And so we have to assess the companies, the technology companies, understand if they understand the future, and really kind of make a bet that they align with our predictions and where we're looking tomorrow. So I think tomorrow is Alexa voice commerce. Tomorrow is robotics and actual robots in the business. You know, things like that are an end-to-end pop-up solution that a brand can take somewhere around the world. These are things we're working with our partners, and we're actually just bringing multiple partners together so that we can create one solution for the retailer.
It almost feels like it's too late for the JCPenney's and the Sears and the Macy's of the world to catch up to some of this. If you had their ear, what would you be telling them to do right now?
Well, I think that's hard. Sometimes the more traditional older businesses have an executive team that isn't advanced in technology, and they aren't aware of everything that needs to happen. There's one of those, and they're pulling in, you know, other like-minded people to fix a problem. So they're kind of coming around to the same problem each time. I think that they have a lot of real estate. Sometimes those bigger, older, traditional companies might or might not make it, but they can spin off, or others will come in the place. I don't know that we have to focus on, you know, big companies failing. There's other things coming behind that.
We're talking about the retail landscape as some big retailers get ready to report quarterly earnings. Kelly, we talked earlier about some of the things that are in the 2019 lookbook. You've touched on a couple of them with whether it be AI and robots, or the sales chain being more transformative and transparent, and other things as well. Any other surprises so far from the 2019 lookbook as you compare it to the actual year?
I don't know that there's surprises. I think things are happening like we thought they would. There's a lot of exciting things going on. Like I said, we're one of the things I think is interesting is there's a lot of shiny innovation for flagship stores, but we're starting to see innovation come through that can really be pulled through a large store with many chains. One of the new products we saw was Retail Zipline, and what they're doing is they create a communication tool where, like, headquarters can talk to all of their stores in a new innovative way. And this is one of those examples where we're looking for something that could help a company in all 400 or all 100 of their stores at the same time that you're helping a flagship store.
I know we talked earlier of when you were on about the 2019 lookbook about Gen Z entering the market. Are they, and what impact are they having?
Well, I think Gen Z and millennials are affecting payment, and we're seeing a lot of non-traditional payment providers come into the market. PayPal's, you know, creating a lot of new products, and we're seeing other players come into the market that are affecting the banks and their credit cards. So that's another interesting thing to look at. Younger people are buying differently with money.
I have to say, as I was going through the lookbook again and preparing for our conversation today, you really hit it on the nail, hit the nail on the head. A lot of these things are happening, and again, this is why we have you on as one of the experts. So if you haven't downloaded and found the lookbook yet, there's still time to do that. I know, Kelly, while we have you on this morning, there's some events happening at Remedista that we want to tell people about. Community Day coming up in September.
Yeah, this is our fourth Community Day, and it's all about education, innovation, collaboration, and celebration. It's our fourth year with our Women to Watch program, and we award those women who are solving the predictions in our lookbook. And then we have the innovation lab where we have 15 or so partners that are bringing new solutions into the market. And so we really want to celebrate those technology companies who continue to do R&D and help us really understand the future. So what's great is we spent the last few years building the innovation lab, and now we believe that that is the future channel for partners to do business in.
Yeah,
and it's really exciting.
It is, and I want to talk a little bit more about that. You were nominated for an innovation, a Chicago Innovation Award. That's a big deal. I mean, if there's different channels, if you haven't been to this, do so, because there's a lot of community here, and it feels like you get a lot of ideas just clicking in and seeing what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, we were really thrilled. It's for innovative products and services, and we just launched, in the last year or so, we launched our Halo Community Platform, which is the ultimate expression of our community, is finding that virtual place where we can connect. And we're launching a bunch of channels and libraries around our show, and excited that they notice what we're doing. And that it's innovative, and community as a business model is, you know, definitely going to be an important strategy for businesses in the future.
It sounds like you're optimistic about retail.
I'm optimistic about retail. You know, what I think is happening is people are focusing on disruption, but we're global now. Women matter, and technology is breaking. Every piece of the business is changing in every business. While we're looking at retail, everything is disrupting. So I would say it's just an opportunity to change processes from the inside out on the back end of the business and the front end of the business. And I think retail is just the easiest way to see change because they have the most budget to test and the least amount of regulations to keep them from learning. So really, retail is the vertical that most industries should look to if they want to save some time. And that's actually what we've done with our pivot looking at the book, is let's help the other verticals understand direct-to-consumer strategies.
Kelly, thank you for being on with us this morning and sharing your expertise with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Kelly Stickel, CEO of Remedista. You can find them online at remedista.com. And we'll link out again to the lookbook, where you can find the lookbook as well, from remedista.com.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on the Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. It's time now for our regular series, Building Business Around Town, presented by Associated Bank.
I'm Ben Awakenight with WGN Radio, and this is Building Business Around Town, brought to you by Associated Bank. And we're here at Hotel EMC2, and this is Scott Greenberg, President and CEO of Smash Hotels, Smash Residential. Scott, thank you so much for having us here today.
Ben, thanks for coming out and seeing us. Always excited to talk to you, and I know we had a chance to get together back at 444 Social
right.
earlier this year.
Yeah, and speaking of 444 Social, for those who've seen the video, okay. If you haven't, you can kind of get a little bit of a background, but that's a little bit different from the hotel side. That's the residential living. So give us a little bit of background of what we talked about there.
You know, Ben, it's really interesting that you phrase it that way, residential and hotel, and a lot of people think, you know, that's suburban residential and has nothing to do with, like, downtown boutique hotels. Nothing in common, but actually there's a lot of DNA that connects one to the other. And where the DNA is, if you remember back at 444 Social, what we did is we built a place that connected people, so incidents where our residents could get to know one another and lead to friendships and hopefully lifelong relationships. And that's actually happening now. Now, how does that extend out to Hotel EMC2 about art and science? Well, the DNA is that we're trying, and what we're doing here is to create a space where people would connect with each other and generate ideas and insights and just love to be together and hopefully lead to the next world-changing idea. And maybe that does happen here, but it is, as always, goes back in service about bringing people together. That's the connection. And the other part, frankly, is that to do, whether it's 444 Social, which is a highly unusual dynamic project, but it's outside the bounds of what, you know, residential apartment developers are supposed to do. You need a lender that is willing to stretch and think creatively. And that's true here as well. When you go outside and build a boutique hotel in downtown Chicago, you know, most lenders are going to recoil and go, hey, but Associated Bank was that kind of lender that, you know, rolled up their sleeves. The people there are amazing, and they got what we were doing. So that's why we're happy to work with them. That's another one of the connections.
So we touched on the Smash residential side of the business, but now we're here at Hotel EMC2, which is the Smash hotel side of the business. So give us a little bit of the background of your experience when it comes to real estate in the hotel industry.
Yeah, I actually started in the hotel business of 20 years ago. And it was out at a project where I was doing my first hotel, and I put together a couple of restaurants with a limited service hotel. And I saw this incredible connection that you built between the two. And later I built another hotel downtown, which was next door to this hotel. It's a Marriott Fairfield. Had a lot of success with that. And then I went on and built a hotel called the Witt Hotel, which is downtown next to Chicago Theater. And it really became a lightning bolt in changing things up in the hospitality industry in Chicago. And that's kind of been my reputation of the company, is doing game-changing things. So I brought that knowledge and other experience here, creating another level of experience, which is not just about, the Wit is known for partying and that kind of experience. This, we wanted to bring people together in different ways to really breed a conversation and insight and interaction. And I'm really proud it's working here.
So walk us through some of the art people might see, some of the science that guests might interact with as well.
We're here at the Albert restaurant, which I'm very proud of. And, you know, there's a lot of features of this. It's a 30-foot tall space. And we have, this is one symbol behind us, which is a mural done by a local artist named Jonathan Plotkin. And it depicts all these interesting and curious people. They're engaged and they're libating a little bit. They're enjoying a little something to drink, some food. They're having a good time. But the idea was, is they're all interesting, having fun, but learning from one another. And of course, in the mural behind the bar, the bar is being tended by none other than Dr. Albert Einstein. So it is in that spirit. But it comes to our infusory, which hangs over the bar, which is basically a giant planter, colorful planter. Artworks from 30 giant artworks are in here. And then, of course, you know, the food itself is art here, and we have a quiet environment, so it's very conversation friendly. Our chef does an incredible job creating, you know, delicious food, and so that all comes together when people are here enjoying themselves, learning from each other, and just having a good time.
What are some of the other factors or trends that you're seeing that are evolving on the forefront?
The hotel market has gotten, to me, very same-like. Everybody's on trend on what is the latest furniture, what is the latest color, and what is the latest experience. But what's harder to do, and where I wanted to jump beyond the trend, is not just about what the latest decor is or seating, but I wanted to affect people deeper, which is, I say, between the ears. I wanted to challenge them to think and create an atmosphere, an environment. So the world has continued. The consumer wants more and more experience in their life. And that doesn't mean just a core. It's part of it. It's more interesting and immersive. But they also want meaning connected with it.
Well, obviously, it must have taken a lot of heavy lifting when it comes to finding the success here at the hotel and with their other projects. And Associated Bank was a big player into making that all happen. So talk to us a little bit about the role that Associated Bank plays within the business.
Again, I go back to the fact that, I do things that are a lot of people are not necessarily comfortable with. A lot of bankers aren't, because it is challenging the norm, and I'm doing something different. One, you need that kind of partner, but you also need a partner when you do these kind of projects, whether it's 444 Social or Hotel EMC2, problems come up. And so you need a banker partner that can navigate through some of the things that they don't, timing doesn't go right, a supplier doesn't hit, and we need to substitute this or that, and sometimes we need a bit more loan proceeds, believe it or not, and a banker who trusts you is there for you. So, you know, Associated Bank is an incredible partner that way.
Going back to your role as sort of an industry influencer with the hotel scene, what do you see next as far as your projects, or as far as, you know, what people might be seeing in their hotel stays going forward in Chicago?
Well, I think everybody is trying to find, you know, how they can be distinctive, and various hotels are always a number of them. You have a lot of the same hotels open up. When people just want to dive for the bottom, I can build it cheaper. That's one strategy. And maybe I can get lower cost. I don't follow that strategy. I follow a strategy of trying to create more immersive experiences. So it is, and what I've done for 20 years and continues, I've added various layers of technology onto what's happening in culture. So I look at culture, I look at what people are interested in, and then I look at sort of the bleeding edge of technology and how I can layer those two together before anybody else spots it, to create another atmosphere that is even more intensive and more dynamic, because, you know, millennials, and we all are getting so bored, you know, so quickly. And so it's the intensity that you bring new experiences. It's the seamless nature that you bring it in. And to make it economical, you're leveraging technology, understanding of culture, and where those two converge to come out with something that's fresh and new.
Well, Scott, it's very exciting to see everything going on here at Hotel EMC2 and all the other projects that you have either have done before or going forward. But how do you see the relationship with Associated Bank growing as you continue to move?
The people that I work with at Associated Bank, you know, do ask me, what's your next project? And so, you know, they're the kind of people I'm going to obviously go to first, because, you know, Scott Greenberg and Smash Hotels you know, can't do something ordinary. So I need somebody that I trust. So they're my first call, because I'm going to ask them something. They're going to probably go, really? And then they'll kind of go, okay, I get it. So that's how it works.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for having us here at Hotel EMC2, talking a little bit about the hotel side of Smash Residential, Smash Hotels. It was great learning about the other side of the business.
Ben, it was fun. Thank you for coming out and seeing me.
Thanks, Bennett. And Scott, and again, it's Building Business Around Town, presented by Associated Bank.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures down 219 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures off more than 0.5% as well, heading to the opening bell. Now, agriculture and commodities. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. A good day at the Illinois State Fair yesterday. A good crowd for Agriculture Day. And yesterday evening, we were there to MC the auction of Grand Champion food products and Grand Champion livestock. Some of the food products, Colby Jack cheese, $600. Smoked cheddar cheese, $350. Bacon brought $525. Now, in the live animal auction, the Grand Champion steer brought $75,000, and it was an interesting bidding team. Governor Pritzker and his wife bidding against each other, and I think Mrs. Pritzker won with that $75,000 bid. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. One other note this morning, Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg has a plan to boost the economy of rural America, including expanding access to high-speed internet. Buttigieg, who's the mayor of South Bend, unveiled his ideas yesterday while campaigning through Iowa, a critical primary state. He says his $80 billion broadband effort would stimulate economic growth, but that the internet is just one pillar of the plan. Buttigieg also pushing for big pay increases for rural teachers and spending $50 billion over 10 years to help farmers mitigate the effects of climate change. He also wants to offer funding to returning veterans to start a business in rural areas and give matching funds to help grow innovative business ideas. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, August the 14th, import and export prices for July are due out today. Trade analysts expect another drop in the price of imported goods, down 0.3% after falling nearly a full percent in July. The export prices are seen falling 0.2% after a 0.7% decline in June. Also today, the Mortgage Bankers Association has mortgage applications. We'll get the EIA Petroleum Status Report, report on Germany and Europe GDP, China retail sales, a UK inflation report. Also earnings today from Macy's, Canopy Growth, Cisco Systems, and Applied Industrial Technologies. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, August the 14th.